The other day I made Anzac biscuits for the boys. I'd forgotten how yummy they were. Oats and golden syrup and melted butter. Anyway, funnily enough, Bush Telegraph stumbled across a woman who's tracking the history of the Anzac biscuit, which has revealed some fascinating facts. We're going to talk to her in a moment. But first we wanted to find out whether people like their bickies crunchy or chewy, which can be contentious.
Crunchy or chewy?
Chewy?
Yeah. Are you? Have you baked many Anzac biscuits in your time?
I have, actually, when I was a lot younger.
Yeah.
But now that I don't really eat anything sweet, I don't really bake anymore.
Okay. Crunchy or chewy?
Crunchy. Very crunchy. See, my nan used to make them, so that's how she used to make them, and that's how I like them.
Standards too high?
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
Do you ever bake Anzac biscuits?
Yeah. Gran queso, love it.
Do you have a preference of crunchy or chewy?
I like the chewy. They're crunch.
Do you like Anzac biscuits?
I only have them with a cup of tea whenever I go back home to Sunshine. I think you really don't need a special occasion for Anzac biscuits. I believe that they're a 24-hour day biscuit, you know what I'm saying?
And do you prefer them crunchy or chewy?
A bit of both, actually. Crunchy on the outside, soft and chewy on the inside, you know what I'm saying?
Sounds delicious.
Yep, they're a 24-hour bickie, aren't they? That's some people talking to Amy Volkovsky, who gathered the opinions on crunchy or chewy. Look, the other contentious fact about Anzac biscuits is who invented them, Australians or New Zealanders? That's one of the questions that culinary historian Alison Reynolds is hoping to answer. She's been trawling through family recipe books and old newspaper clippings to write a book about the Anzac biscuit. Welcome, Alison.
Good morning. Pleasure to be with you.
What's the earliest mention of the Anzac you've found so far?
Oh, I think with using the actual name Anzac biscuit is around 1916, and that's in a newspaper I can't quite remember which one it was. Let me see. Oh, yes, it was the Sunday Times in Perth. And it actually is not quite as the Anzac biscuit as we know it today, but it was called Anzac Ginger Biscuits. And
so that was in Sunday,
1916. Yes.
Yeah, and you said then the when it was called the Anzac biscuit, because there was a similar biscuit not known by that name.
Well, that's
there?
Right. The name Anzac biscuits only was coined after Gallipoli. First of all, I think we need to establish what Anzac stands for, that and most Australians would know that, Australian and New Zealand Army Corps, and that didn't come into being until the Australian and New Zealand soldiers were grouped in Egypt before they went to Gallipoli in 1915. So prior to 1915, you're not going to see the word Anzac connected with a recipe.
But was there a similar biscuit?
There was lots, and they went by loads of different names, and we've been immersed in cookery books looking at them all, and I think as many books as we look at and find a recipe that's similar, we don't find anything at all, so it's quite interesting. We must have looked at nearly 60 books, Australian cookery books I'm talking about, and a few New Zealand ones, and let's face it, I think we can safely say that the Anzac biscuit is something that both countries have a claim to and share a connection with. I think it's the thing that unites us.
I don't think anyone minds sharing it.
The pavlova actually divides us.
Indeed.
I think the Anzac biscuit goes back such a long way, and there's such a lot they've shared together that I think both countries deserve the right to have the biscuit.
What were some of the names that you found of the biscuits before they were Anzac biscuits? And can you tell me, they were sent over to the soldiers, weren't they, because they travelled so well?
Well, that's the point. There are lots of recipes that refer to soldiers' biscuits and Red Cross biscuits. And these in particular were sent because the point being was they had a long journey ahead of them. The biscuits may have hung around on the wharfs for a while, waiting to be packed to send overseas, waiting for ships to come to take them. And then they would have had a 2-month journey at least. So these biscuits had to last. And also, you're at a time of war, so food food was precious. So it was food from the pantry. So it was simple things like oats and flour and sugar. And what happened was they weren't able to use eggs because eggs would have meant the biscuits wouldn't have kept.
Mm.
So what bound those biscuits together, those ingredients together, was golden syrup. That was the key factor. And the biscuits did keep well, and they were sent overseas. But there's sort of several stories in that one alone. But the biscuit did change and evolve, and it was different to how we know it today.
Yes. Can you tell me, didn't someone put coconut in it, or has the recipe remained generally the same?
No, well, that's the thing, that one of the things that alerted this me to this biscuit was when we were looking at old cookery books, and I saw a family recipe book, you know, one of these heirloom ones that gets passed down the family, and I happened to notice that the recipe didn't include coconut. I thought, oh. So I then looked in a few books and found that coconut did not figure in published cookery books until to date. We haven't found it till 1925, and that is 10 years later, which is quite interesting, isn't it? So the query is, who put the coconut in the Anzac biscuit and why? Good question.
Yes, I don't use coconut in mine.
I've found several people. Well, no, I do, because it's the one I know. I was introduced to the Anzac biscuit 25 years ago when I came to Australia and lived in Darwin. And for my first Anzac Day, being a sort of food person and interested in food history, of course, I was really excited to make my first Anzac biscuits. And could I find a recipe? Anyway, eventually, local school, my son's school friends, their mums came to my rescue. And then, of course, lo and behold, when I went out and bought the ingredients, I found the recipe on the back of the golden syrup tin.
Ah.
So it was out there. But the point was, that's the one I've been used to using. And no way did I realise how, you know, the aspects about it, the fact that some people like this chewy, some like them crunchy. And when we recently did a roadshow where we got people to bring their recipes in, I actually made both, and I've got a recipe I can actually let you have for your website, if you like.
Yes, please.
So that, which tell you the things that make it chewy and the things that make it crunchy. And I think there's room for both.
Wonderful. Is there a trademark on the name, Alison? Because a number of biscuit companies make Anzac biscuit.
Yes, there is a company, a commercial company, that do make the biscuits, and they actually have permission from the RSL, and they actually a percentage of their profits actually go back into
legacy, doesn't it?
Well, the Return Services League.
Yes.
And so there is, you can't trade on the name Anzac. You're not allowed to use it and sort of make money out of it. So usually when Anzac biscuits are sold around Anzac Day, they're done specifically as a fundraiser for the RSL.
Mm. Hey, the other thing I wanted to ask you about, you're talking about recipe books. We talked about a history of the PMWU cookbook the other day, and some of these, Anzac being a military name or a name that came out of war, you also found a Gallipoli cake in the PMWU cookbook.
Yeah, don't you think that was quite a coincidence? There I was, I travelled over to Melbourne, and I was in the Emily McPherson Library in RMIT looking at the first edition of the PWMU book, and at the same time you were putting a story out on it.
Fancy that.
A chance conversation with your producer, she told me about it, and I said, well, I was able to find that there was no Anzac biscuit recipe or anything similar in the editions I looked at, which were like from 1916 to 1920. But what we did find was a Gallipoli cake. And I was fascinated by that because I hadn't seen that before. Mm-hmm. And that's a very simple sponge cake, one of those sort of economical ones like the Australian 2468 type, where you have quite a bit of milk in there as well. And on the top, before it's baked, you put on the top a sort of crumbly mixture, butter and flour, and a high percentage of sugar and cinnamon. And it bakes in, it's called a Gallipoli tea cake.
I was just going to say, it sounds like a tea cake.
Yes, and if anybody has that book out there, I recommend you make it. I've made it twice now, and we only discovered it a couple of weeks ago. So I'm delighted with it. And I'm interested in the fact it's a very plain cake, but it keeps well.
Wonderful. Alison, we could talk to you forever, but time moves on. Thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, well, thank you. It's been my pleasure.
And we'll post your recipe for crunchy, or the hints for crunchy or chewy.
Yes. Anzacs. Judy, could I ask you one thing? If anybody does have any special family reference that they'd like to share with me, I do have a Culinary History Facebook site, which they could link through your website.
Excellent. We'll put that
online.
I'd
be delighted to hear from people.
Thanks a lot, Alison.
Okay, bye.
Culinary historian Alison Reynolds.